This is the Unconquered Podcast, unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
If Florida State
will win national championships and ACC championships.
It's caught! Touchdown official, Calvin Benjamin!
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something I can really do this.
Game over! Those are the champions of college football!
Jameis, why? Jameis, no! No! No!
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. And today on the podcast, we are joined by the newly crowned publisher at NoleDigest.com, Trey McGahey. It's good to have you with us, and congratulations on the new promotion, finally getting yourself paid what you're worth.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, so actually, let's start by we've both been watching the NBA Finals, and I actually want to know your opinion on something before we get to Camp Jimbo. We're going to be talking about Camp Jimbo today. I want to know where on the list of stupid films does this this Pixels film fall? Like is this in the pantheon? Is this Mount Rushmore stupid, or where does this fall?
I don't know. It falls under so stupid that I actually think it's going to be hilarious. That's how stupid that I think it is. It's like an Anchorman. You know, anything with Will Ferrell in it is just so stupid.
Well, it's got a chance of that, but really, I'm not optimistic about it. I mean, here's the thing. Where does it fall on the Adam Sandler spectrum? I mean, everything post, say, The Waterboy, and really you could even go before that if you are less, if you have less nostalgia about The Waterboy than I do. Really, you could go back to probably, you know, Big Daddy and Happy Gilmore. Since then, when has he actually done a decent film?
You know, that's a very good question. But Tyrion, the guy who plays Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones,
oh, I know,
he's rocking a mullet.
No, when anytime he's in a film, his part is amazing. So I mean, the guy's awesome. And when you add a mullet to him, it just adds to the aggression level automatically. And so, you know, he's always got these aggressive parts. His part in Elf is still just a highlight of that film. But I just don't know that he can salvage that he can salvage something this utterly stupid. But anyway, let's go ahead and get to talking about Camp Jimbo, which starts this week. And there's going to be a lot of talent in Tallahassee. Maybe probably the most I can remember in Tallahassee at a Camp Jimbo. So you know, there's quite a bit to be excited about if you're a Florida State fan. I already think that this 2016 class is potentially stacking up as the best recruiting class since Jimbo's been at Florida State, which puts it on the short list of best classes in Florida State history. So just depending on how certain things shake out, and that this class could be historically good. But Camp Jimbo with the visitor list starting to look like it may contribute to that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's there are just so much talent coming in. There's a bunch of Florida State commits that are coming in, like Bavian Johnson. But it's really going to be interesting to see how Janarius Robinson works with, you know, Brad Lawing, who will be coaching at Camp Jimbo for the first time. He worked with Sal last year, and that's where he really made a name for himself. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, I expect that'll go just fine. I think Lawing has worked so well with the guys on campus already, and he's been known as a really good recruiter who can connect with kids. I don't think that's going to be anything to be concerned about. If anything, that should probably, I expect that to continue to seal Robinson, who's really, I mean, he's a bigger Florida State fan than some of the subscribers I think that we have, I think he would have to be looking for a reason to get out, and I don't think he's going to find that with Lawing.
Oh, not at all. They've already established a relationship. They're very friendly with one another. I was just going to see, you know, what Janarius is a very raw kid. He is a great athlete, but he's not a great football player right now.
I'm still shocked that he's not been given an opening invite, which I think is at this point the biggest oversight in the among the opening non-invites.
I would agree. I would expect him to get one.
There's when only it's one all left said and done.
There's one left for his position, and I would expect him to get it.
He needs to be the one to get that. I mean, I just want to see how he tests out there. I mean, because I don't think anybody at that position is going to test better than that kid.
No, definitely not. There's also another, you know, big time defensive end on campus, 5-star defensive end Shavar Manuel is expected to come in and to participate. So it'll be the first time that he's been on campus with, it'll be the second time that he's been on campus with Long. Here he was here for one of the junior days where we had the whole did he commit, did he not commit, maybe, we don't know. Was it a silent and then somebody went public with it? So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I wouldn't expect a commitment from him, but I do know that Florida State leads pretty well at this point for the 5-star.
Yeah, I expect him to be in the class. And the thing is, I actually don't really consider him a defensive end for Florida State in Florida State scheme. I think he classifies more as a he's kind of a Mario Edwards type player where you know, I think if the coaching staff had had their druthers, if they'd been able to put guys exactly where they wanted, they'd have had Edwards inside a little bit more. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what ended up happening with Manuel, who seems to be a little more open to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting, you know, situation because he would play that 3-4 defensive end at this point with his, you know, one of the guys with his hand in the dirt.
Right. So basically where Eddie Goldman was as a sophomore.
Yes. So, I mean, you have that, and then there's one of the guys that I think it's really going to be key for this camp is linebacker Devin Bush. Now, he's a bit undersized, but the kid can just play football.
Yeah, he's kind of the opposite of Janarius Robinson in that Robinson projects extremely high but isn't a great football player yet. Bush is the opposite where he's more limited ceiling-wise because of the size, but he's a really good football player already. Yeah.
He just finds the football. It doesn't matter where it is on the field, he finds it. He's a really good football player, and he's a take for Florida State right now. That was a question that, you know, many have had on our board. He is 100% a take. If he commits to Florida State this week, they will take it.
Yeah, and I think that the thing is, you start to wonder at what point this class starts to get full of linebackers. I think they take 5.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, especially considering Horton, Horton's been flirting with other schools, so he's not necessarily locked. So they could have, you know, two, maybe three more linebacker spots open.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, depending on who sticks in and who sticks out, I mean, if Horton does flirt with some of these guys, I mean, obviously there are some other really, really good linebackers on the board. Like you said, 2, maybe 3 spots may open, so there's no reason not to take a really good football player like Bush. The question is just really a matter of fit there. So, you know, some of the other guys on the board, you'd mentioned off the air, Keon Joyner from North Carolina. I know you like Joyner a lot. I'm a little more skeptical about him. I don't think he's the second best outside linebacker prospect in the country. I think he's a little stiff for my blood for that. But, you know, that's one guy. You know, the guy that I really like is Cook. Couch is Jamal Couch from Alabama. I think, you know, I think that kid, and it's not even clear he's going to end up at linebacker at Florida State. I mean, he could play about 4 or 5 positions, but I think projecting him at linebacker, he is one of the guys that I would take before just about anybody else in the current recruiting class. I mean, I think that guy's got incredible upside at that position because of how long and how fast and athletic he is and smooth.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him at the July camp last year, and he was just an athletic freak. He looked real good. He was working out at tight end there, and that's a position that I don't think he ends up at Florida State because of another guy that's attending camp, and, you know, the best tight end in the country is Isaac Nata.
Not so just the best tight end in the country,
but
one of the best tight ends we've seen come out of high school in a long time.
Yeah, I got to see Nada up close and personal at the First Coast 7-on-7 in Jacksonville. He was on Team Tampa, and there just wasn't an answer for him.
He's just silly good in terms of, and it's not just, I mean, he's good now, but in terms of how high he projects, that kid's just freakishly good.
He's too athletic to be covered by a linebacker, and he's too big to be covered by a corner, safety, money, star, whatever.
So let's run down the list of some of the other guys that, are on this attendee list at this point for Camp Jimbo. And this is actually, let's remember, this is just for the first Camp Jimbo. So this, yes. You know, there's multiple sessions of Camp Jimbo. So this is for the first session of Camp Jimbo. Let's go down the list. You already mentioned Shavar Manuel, who's one of the top targets. I'd say one of the top three targets left on Florida State's board that's not presently committed. And I think he's going to wind up getting himself in this class. I think he winds up in the class. And then who else on this list? And you mentioned Nauta. You mentioned Janarius Robinson. You mentioned Devin Bush. Who else on this list really should be on the radar for Florida State fans?
Well, right now, three-star defensive in Nick Coe, he's on the radar, but he doesn't have a Florida State offer. If he comes out and he shows out, he could earn himself one. He would likely commit on the spot. So that's something to look for when we're updating the daily threads, just to look for how he's doing, because he could be a guy that earns himself an offer at this camp.
Yeah, and again, he's got a lot of what Florida State looks for at that position. You know, he's 6'5" and a half, you know, 260 plus, and, you know, has that freakish wingspan, the long, the length that Jimbo Fisher covets to have on the edge. I mean, that's how Fisher really believes you have to stop the spread, is with long, active, you know, high wingspan players on the edge. And this kid has that. I mean, he's actually, you know, very similar to sort of in between the couple guys that Florida State brought in two classes ago, what with Featherston and Ricky Leonard. He's a little bit closer maybe to Leonard in terms of how big he already is. But the other thing is that he's from Asheboro, North Carolina. And one of the things that's interesting about North Carolina is they put out a lot of talent, but because they don't have spring football and some of the other factors in terms of basketball and all this around the state of North Carolina, they are not they don't put out as polished the players as you would expect for a state that puts out as much talent as they do. Those kids come in with a higher ceiling than what they're often rated in high school because they're much more raw.
Yeah, and you know, before this season, Jay Graham was the guy who recruited the Carolinas, and he had done a fairly good job. I mean, he's gotten Arthur Williams and Featherston out of there, but Coach Lawing is, you know, the main recruiter for North Carolina now, and he's just killing it.
Well, and the thing is, both of those guys now have their contacts and influence there. So, you know, both guys are actually really are able to continue to influence the coaches and players up in the state of North Carolina. And that makes a huge difference to have two guys that have trust in that state.
Yep. You know, Keon Joyner, we were just talking about him, plays at Havelock. That's the place where, you know, Coach Long got his start at. That's why there's such a good relationship there between Coach Long and the coaches at Havelock. So that's really what gotten Florida State in the game for Keon Joyner.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there again. I mean, I know that the staff really would like to have him on the roster. And also, again, with Lawing being from there, I wouldn't be surprised if long-term he ended up on the edge rather than at the linebacker position or the true sort of linebacker position that FSU plays, that, you know, he wound up more at a pass-rushing kind of role. Be interesting. And they've got a lot of guys that now, after having really no pass rushers on the roster last year that could be relied upon outside of true freshmen and way undersized Featherston, they're starting to stockpile those guys.
Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of talent at defensive end, and the question is whether or not Florida State has room for a guy like Coe. If, I mean, there's probably only two spots left for, you know, defensive linemen. You've got Shavar Manuel and Dexter Lawrence still sitting out there.
Yeah,
so
I think at this point he's one of those guys that they probably end up slow playing, unfortunately, and that's just what it is. But again, if a guy, you know, you can't count on everybody who's presently committed sticking in the class. And if one of these guys doesn't stick, and you mentioned earlier, you know, there's at least one player who's starting to nose around in terms of that. If one of those guys doesn't stick, or depending on what happens in terms of senior years and who develops and all that, you know, if Tyree Horton starts to look around, if, you know, one of these guys start to look around, that's a guy that I think ends up maybe higher on the list in terms of replacing somebody that steps out of the class. Among other guys that should be on the radar, let's go ahead through. So you got Andrew Bocelli, another FSU commit, Keith Gavin, who's quietly been way under the radar. I mean, the guy's a four-star receiver. I'm not sure that he's not underrated.
Oh, no, he actually reminds me a lot of Anquan coming out. Like,
exactly.
I love the size. I love the athleticism. And he loves Florida State. He's been to Alabama a couple times, but I really don't see him going anywhere else. He's pretty firm to Florida State. And I really like the kid.
Yeah, so do I. And I actually think that there's a lot of similarities between Gavin and Anquan as well. And that, as you know, coming from me, is very, very high praise. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that, with him, you know, at Florida State. But I think with that kind of size, with the kind of burst that he shows, he may be underrated as a four-star, and a lot of times early commits wind up there. Other ones, you know, the 2018 prospect, Joey Gatewood, who may well be an early commit at the quarterback
I would expect
position.
Him to commit sometime this week. It might be tomorrow.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. And that right there, again, there's nothing like getting an elite quarterback to commit early in the process. And this is a 2018 kid, so not even this year's class. Or not even next year's class. Not, you know, we're looking at the 2016 class, not even next year's class, but the 2018 class. You're already looking at a kid that may be the top quarterback prospect in the 2018 class committing to your program.
Yes.
And that's a cornerstone recruit. I mean, there's just nothing better than getting an elite quarterback as your cornerstone recruit 2 years before the actual signing day. I mean, that allows you to use that as an additional recruiting cornerstone for the rest of the class, because those guys attract other top talent who want to play with them.
Oh, absolutely. I don't expect Florida State to recruit a quarterback for 2017 just because they have so many on the roster now. I mean, you go back and look at it. This past year they signed DeAndre Johnson and DeAndre Francois. You've got Malik Henry now. And you had J.J. Cosentino the year before.
Yeah, the question is how many guys are of that group are still on campus going into next year. No, I don't think that, you know, the 2017 class is a priority, but the question is, do you turn down a kid that wants to come if anybody wants to come? I'm just not sure that anybody would necessarily want to come given that situation. I mean, with Francois and Henry in particular as guys who project really well, although, you know, there are some concerns about Henry that we've talked about in the past, both in terms of off the field, you know, questions, which, you know, you can debate on whether those are overblown or not. They're still red flags to some degree. Then you have the recent bit where he sat out of the last day of Elite 11 semifinal camp with a shoulder problem that, you know, there's some concern that may be more than just a little bit of soreness. So be interesting again with Henry sort of where things shake out over the next year as he prepares to wind up on campus.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting question. And the only quarterback right now that would even be interesting to Florida State is Cade Weldon, Casey Weldon's son, you know, going back way back to Seminole greats, but he's not really an elite prospect. He's more like a Central Florida guy,
right?
So I wouldn't expect him to end up at Florida State at this point. And I just, you have JJ who is most likely to transfer. Even if DeAndre Johnson doesn't win the job, I don't expect him to transfer just because he'd probably go out there and still think he's winning the job, even if, you know, Jimbo names somebody else. That's just kind of the player he is. He's not going to let anybody tell him,
yeah,
hey,
he's a guy I really like in a lot of ways. I mean, he's not a normal kid. you know, in any respect, and that in a lot of ways is a good thing. And he certainly has a lot of confidence, and you know, you watch his release and all of those things. The kid was made to throw the football.
So yeah, I just wish that I could take his mentality and put it into, you know, JJ Cosentino's body.
Yeah, I mean he's a legit 6'2", which is enough. You know, and that, yes, you'd prefer to have a guy with JJ's body or Jameis Winston's body or whatever, but when you have the ability to throw the football like he has, and you have that kind of confidence, and you know, he's by all accounts a really intelligent kid. Be interesting to see how that competition works out with him and Henry and JJ Cosentino and all of these guys coming in. It's going to be very, very interesting. But anyway, let's get back to the last few guys from Camp Jimbo. So some other guys on the list. Another guy I know that the staff is very high on is not committed at this point. You mentioned one center prospect who's committed at this point with Bavion Johnson, but there's another interior offensive line prospect that the staff is extremely high on and would certainly take a commit from if he were to commit this week. There's no doubt he's an immediate take.
Yeah, you're talking about Richard Merritt. He's it's a little uncertain whether or not he's going to make the trip. I've been told yes, and then I've been told no. So we'll see. I still have him as the attending because I was told yes. But, yeah, the staff absolutely love the kid. He is a take over Stuart Reese right now, and they're only looking to take one more guard at the position. So he's the take right now. If he committed, Stuart Reese wouldn't have a spot.
Yeah, and the kid is nasty. He can bend. He's 325 already in high school, and I've never really been one who's big on, you know, the 300-plus pounders coming out of high school. And Trickett is always, you know, careful about that as well. But this is the kind of guy who is a Trickett offensive lineman at 325 in high school.
Oh, yeah. He's mean. He's nasty. He wants to put you in the dirt every play.
Yeah. And that, so, you know, they're going to want him right away. Some of the other guys, let's run down the list a little bit more quickly here as we close the program out. Some of the other guys that are slated to visit and where Florida State stands with him.
Well, you've got four-star corner Nigel Knott. He's not a state guy. You may have seen him on SportsCenter the other day because he's backflip catches off the wall and like just doing
so
all this
athletic,
crazy acrobatic
not necessarily
stuff.
Intelligent.
What's that?
So very athletic, but not necessarily intelligent in terms of his off-field decision making at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, if you can make it and, you know, do it as easily as he does it, it's not, you know.
I just see torn up ankles saying, there. So anyway.
Yeah. You can still get hurt doing it, but.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen him, go look him up. It's Nigel Knott, K-N-O-T-T. Really, really athletic kid.
And
distance is not a factor for him.
I think there's still two spots for the cornerback position in this class. They'll take at least two more. And if it's the right guys, I mean, they could take potentially as many as four, depending on how the class shakes out. They need at least two. And yeah. I think they take three with an eye on a fourth guy. If it's the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, you already have Taylor. You're going after Trayvon Mullen, who just wrapped up a visit today.
And how can you not love Taylor at this point?
We'll get into that in a second.
We'll close with that one, but go ahead.
Yeah, but Knott's a kid that, you know, he's got his eye on Florida State. Florida State's definitely in the mix. This is his second time visiting Florida State this spring. Well, I guess it's technically summer now, so it's the second time visiting in the last couple months. But the kid is he's really good, and he's open. Like, distance is not a factor with him. So, you know, he could be one to watch out for. Then there's 2017 four-star corner Stanford Samuels III. You might remember that name from his father, Stanford Samuels Jr.
Who played with, and I will tell you this, if his boy works anywhere near as hard as Stanford does, or as hard as Stan did, as hard as Boosie did when he was at Florida State, that kid's who's actually more talented than his father, that kid is going to be an absolute stud. He'll be an NFL pro bowler if he has Stan's work ethic.
Oh, he's by far more talented than his father, and his father will tell you that.
Boosie will tell you that right away. He knows. He's been training that boy.
Yeah. He's a good 2 inches taller than, you know, Junior. So he's pretty much, he's the top 4-star player on scout, and he's underrated. Like, that's how good this
kid
is.
Yeah, he may wind up the number one corner in the country for the 2016 or for the 2017 class.
Absolutely. It's really going to be fun to watch him go up against Keith Gavin this week. So that's something else.
And that's going to be good for him in terms of recruiting as well, because that's the kind of competition that gets a guy to want to be on your campus. So that's where having a little bit of that competition, and they're going to want to line him up against Gavin repeatedly and say, this is what's waiting on you in practice. That's going to be very very influential, and that's going to be part of the strategy. That's what you do in these camps.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, a lot of people would think that Stanford Samuel's son, you know, highly rated, automatic commit to Florida State. That's not really the case. He is seriously looking at Georgia. So Florida State's got to stop the heat on him.
And you got to remember that a lot of the coaching staff at Georgia was at Florida State when Stan played at Florida State.
Exactly.
When his dad played. So there is, you got to keep that in mind, that Georgia, when you're talking about allegiance with athletes, guys who played, school allegiance is one thing, but then you have allegiance to coaches that you trust and that you know. And when you've got Mark Richt and John Lilly and Dave Van Hallinger, those guys are all up at Georgia, and they're all guys that Stanford Jr. knows and trusts. So, you know, they're certainly a real threat to get the third. Although I do know that Stanford really likes Jimbo, and I still would give Florida State the edge at this point, but you can't take it for granted. Anyway, let's go ahead and finish the list, and then we'll go ahead and wrap with a little discussion about Taylor.
Yeah, the last guy on my list is 2017 safety Amon Ross. He holds a Florida State offer. He's a big Florida State fan. I would not be surprised if he gave a commitment. He's picked up a couple offers lately, but Florida State was his first offer. It was the team that you know, really stood out to him growing up. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was on commit watch this week.
Yeah, the interesting thing with him is, you know, he's not the prototype in terms of size at the safety position. So, you know, I know he has an offer. The question is, will they take a commitment at this point? And I know he's a very good player, but again, the prototype is always the question in these cases. It'll be interesting again to see how that goes, and how he does in camp, how he looks in camp, I'm sure is going to be a factor there. So let's go ahead and wrap about further reason why Florida State fans should be happy about Levante Taylor being in this class.
Well, somebody compared him to Vernon Hargreaves, the All-American corner from Florida today. And he said, no, I'm better.
Well, not just that, but he called him Vern. He said, no, I'm better than Vern was in high school.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love the confidence from the kid. I mean, he is truly an elite prospect. You know, the only question about him was his size, but he measured it at 5'11 at the opening. And, you know, if he's 5'11, he ran a 4.34 laser time 40. I mean, the kid can absolutely fly. Well, he's athletic.
And also had a 42 and a half or something like that vertical. It was well over 40 vertical, which, you know, is every bit as impressive as a 4.34 40, and maybe more important at that position. Short shuttle time was also really good. So the guy at 5'11 is certainly one of the top two or three corners in the country.
Oh, absolutely. His spark rating is higher than, let's go over this, Derwin James, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Who are those guys?
Let's just go ahead and stop there.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Those are five star, you know, safeties, corners,
and 5-star freaks. So
yes.
Anyway, Florida State already is sitting very pretty in the 2016 class with guys like Levante Taylor on board already. It's going to be interesting to see where they stand after the first session of Camp Jimbo. We'll keep you up to date with the program shortly after that. But at the moment, the NBA Finals have gotten down to a 5-point game. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this show and get to watching some basketball. So for Trey McGahee and the rest of the Noel Digest crew, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I made this.